Welcome back in. It is the Dynasty Gambit. After a few too many weeks, too much rest, too much relaxation, we're finally back. Tonight, we dive into the free agency, what it means for your fantasy team. Let's get into it. Oh yes. Steven, we are back, baby. The Gambit is back. Welcome back in. I am your host, Gator J. You can always find me at FantasyJ77 over there on Twitter with my co-host, Steven at Target Shares over there on Twitter. Ooh, lots to get through in this hour or so. Hopefully we don't run too long because Gladys got her show, no particular order, coming up right after us at 10 o'clock. But free agency. Can I say wow? Day one? Holy smokes.
Especially compared to last year, too. I think I remember last year being pretty boring. And this year, it just feel like every single running back has now shifted to the right to a new team. And then just keep shifting, too. And it's been really fun.
The complete opposite, right? It was like, we're not paying any of these guys. Yes. Well, I mean, when you look at it, they had Bijan Robinson. You had Jahmyr Gibbs. Yep. You know, all these, what we assume are going to be very, very, very good, if not elite players in the NFL. And then the NFL was like, oh, wait, it's Josh Jacobs, Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, you know, all of these guys that we know can do things in the NFL. And there's nobody coming in for a running back position. Oh, crap. Let's pay these guys.
Like, we're not going to draft them until the third round. And we got like $30 million extra cash burn in my pocket. I could give it to some running back.
And that's the other problem is timing for guys like Saquon and Josh Jacobs and everything. It worked out perfect.
Yeah.
Right. You have nobody that seems to be elite coming in from the draft, but you also ended up with an extra $10 million in salary cap because of the TV revenue and everything. So everybody had this extra money that they have to spend. They got to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Got to give it away.
If I have to pay a running back, I will.
I mean, we saw them give so much money away to guys like Calvin Ridley. It was insane the amount of money that they were giving away. Yep. I would have taken a few, you know, hundreds. $1. It didn't have to be millions, but hundreds would have been fine.
The Gambit sponsored by the Tennessee Titans.
That's right. Yeah. No doubt. That would be great. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
We should definitely. There's one team that won't be sponsoring anything, and that's the Dallas Cowboys, because they don't spend any money in free agency. They are all in. All in. Let's talk about it real quickly. Who was your biggest splash for fantasy?
Yeah. I mean, I think. This is selfish. I have a ton. I think I have Drake London in every single one of my dynasty leagues. I think I have 100% Drake London exposure. So I'm going to say Kirk Cousins. I think it's twofold the benefits. I mean, the first is the huge boost in quality of QB play for the Falcons. I mean, we go from negative 1.4% completion percentage over expectation to positive 4.6 in Cousins. That was third best in the league. Huge improvement there. Even just EPA, negative 0.6 per play to positive 0.1. Just, I think it's undersold the benefit of going from literally league worst QB play to top 10, top 15 play from Cousins. And then just the volume boost too. I mean, in 8 games last year that he actually played, Cousins had like 311 passing attempts. In 15 games, Ridder had 388. So almost as many in half as many games. I mean, I think we'll get an actual NFL offense from Zach Robinson. Yeah, I think it's absolutely massive for everyone in Atlanta. And I'm going to say in particular, Drake London.
Yeah, it's an interesting signing for me. You know, when you look back, 2 years ago, was it last year or 2 years ago when they didn't want to spend, you know, the money for what is now a 2-time MVP in Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
And they basically give maybe a little bit less money, but it's now we're talking about a non-mobile quarterback in Kirk Cousins. Okay, whatever, fine. But I think it is still Kirk Cousins. You know, temper your expectations. Real life NFL football. Temper your expectations as an Atlanta fan, just because we know we've seen this play out with Kirk Cousins before. When it comes to primetime games, you know, any of that sort of thing. Now that can all change. He's home. He's right down the street from I believe it's his wife's family lives there in Atlanta. So he's right there. Maybe that makes him feel a little bit more comfortable. You know, Arthur Smith is gone, you know, got Drake London. You got Kyle Pitts. You got Bijan Robinson. I mean, they've added like 74 more wide receivers here in the last half hour. Let me just double check and see who they have
now. Behind Drake London.
It is insane the amount of wide receivers they added. Like they gave him Ray McCall. I mean, okay, listen, not that they are, you know, barn burners. You know, these aren't, you know, huge names or nothing. But it's still the amount of wide receiver, the amount of weapons. He cannot say he doesn't have anybody.
Yeah.
They also added Darnell Mooney.
Yeah. I mean, I think they, if you looked at that depth chart before any of these ads, some of those guys I had literally never heard of. And I'm in dynasty leagues with like 40 roster spots. I'm like, who are these guys? I mean, they really, really needed that. I'm glad they're, I think Darnell Mooney is at least an NFL player, you know, pretty okay.
I think, you know, for real life, I think Darnell Mooney is a great ad here. Because he can take the top off and open up the underneath for both Kyle Pitts and Drake London, but also for Bijan, right? But here, the other thing is, like, he was a 40% deep route runner, and he was catching damn near everything that was within arm's distance of him.
Yeah, it just, there wasn't that much that was within arm's distance. Correct. Yeah.
But he caught everything. Even if it was only two passes, he takes the top off.
Sure.
So I like what Atlanta has done, even though I am a Buck fan. I don't want to see this twice a year. But my Bucks didn't do bad either. I mean, they didn't go out and sign a bunch of big names, but they kept everybody that's old home. They did bring in some defensive guys.
I just heard that Devin White signed with my Birds.
Yes,
though.
Yeah, I was going to bring that.
Pretty excited about that for a team that typically
let me ask you
spend
this.
On linebacker.
Let me ask you this. Speaking about your Northern Dirty Birds, they on both sides of the ball, they got better, I think, on both sides of the ball. My question to you is this where Jason Kelce goes, damn, fuck it, I'm coming back. Fuck it, I'm coming back. Does he Tom Brady this and go, I'm coming back?
I don't think so. I mean, I'm pretty sure he has made his decision and he's sticking with it. That's my guess, at least. But no, I was actually I speaking with my friends who were also Eagles fans from Philadelphia, pretty surprised by the Saquon ad. Really did not expect us to spend any amount of money on running backs, just given what Howie Roseman usually does. And I know, you know, it's 3 year, $38 million, actually 2 year, $24 million. All those contracts are, all the up twos are not really true, but still pretty surprised. I mean, I like the ad. I wonder if this is something where it's like, okay, he's gone. Now we need maybe an actual running back to score touchdowns rather than just doing the tush push at the one every single play. Like, I wonder if that's a little bit of a reaction to that.
I honestly think that the tush push is still going to be there. And I think it's going to be more of the outside of the 5 yard line. I think Barkley has only had 1 year of 10 touchdowns.
I would have guessed
that was his rookie year, right? Yeah. But this year, I can see it a lot more. He's in a better offense, more opportunity, you know, better weapons around him. You know, this could be like, hopefully they don't go 10-1, right, to start the year. Mm-hmm. That could spell bad things again for it. No, I'm playing. I could see this team going like at what, 14-3, I guess it is now, and making a hell of a push.
I would have, and they can still do it, but I would have really liked an actual third receiver and not Devontae Parker. Like, I think we could really use an actual NFL third wide receiver.
Well, I mean, this draft class is loaded.
That's maybe what they'll do at the end of the first round. They could get someone still pretty quality. So,
yeah, I mean, there's going to be wide receivers in the mid to late second round that we're all sitting there jonesing for.
Yeah,
and when it comes to fantasy, so I mean, there's going to be plenty of
wide receivers deep by that point. You know,
yeah, yep. Well, let's dive into a couple of others real quick. Today came out Curtis Samuel signing a 3-year deal, $30 million to the Bills. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it feels like the Bills continuing to see, okay, we're going against these two high safety looks all of the time. It feels very indicative of that transition away from Gabe Davis to Curtis Samuel, away from the guy that only runs deep routes to a guy that wins more in intermediate routes, short routes, like closer to the line of scrimmage with Yak. It feels like what we kind of saw last year, that continuing, which is them trying to beat with Yak with short routes and not just like deep balls to Gabe Davis anymore. I think it's smart. I liked it. I like the signing. Here's what you think.
I mean, I like the signing. I think it's going to give Kincaid more of an inline option. And I think that's going to be good for Allen when it comes to his rushing. Yep. Maybe it slows him down a little bit, his rushing, and it gives him a receiver, outside of Diggs that can run the sweeps, you know. And look, you've got James Cook there as well. And I think Shakir is going to be a little bit, more involved this year. I just want to say hey to Drop the Mic and to Jamie both in the chat. If you want to interact with us, jump over to the YouTube side. Make sure you hit that thumbs up for us. If you're not already subscribed to the Going for Two Network, hit that subscribe button. Interact with us in the chat. You can give Mike all the hell you want to give. You can give Jamie all the hell. That's all Jamie does is talk crap to us. So you are more than welcome to talk crap back to him as well. Ravens signed Derrick Henry. They agreed to a 2-year, $16 million contract. I love this.
Dude. Pretty fun, right?
I love this.
I think my initial thought was like, can you think of a more thunder and lightning combo ever than Keaton Mitchell and Derrick Henry? Like the most lightning and thunder type.
What was it back in the day in Carolina when the whole thunder and lightning came out? Who was the two backs? I can't remember.
D'Angelo Williams and why am I forgetting?
I know, right? Was it Jonathan Stewart?
Right?
It might have been. Yeah, it might have been. But that's when you first said that. I was like, "Holy crap! This could be." Since then,
I mean,
thunder and lightning. Because I think this looks like it's we don't want to run Lamar, right? We don't want to run Lamar as much,
yeah,
right? Which I think we saw a lot of that last year. But in this Todd Monken system, he wants Lamar to be able to throw the ball down the field a little bit more. You saw the emergence of Zay Flowers, even though they released Odell Beckham. You've got Mark Andrews coming back off the injury and everything. When you can take the likes of Keaton Mitchell, who's very, very good.
Yeah, and hopefully healthy.
In the opportunities that he got, and then give him a breather with this guy from Tennessee.
Yeah.
They call him King something or another. Anyway, Derrick Henry. This I love this. I really, really do. Now I do have a funny faux pas, I guess. But they lost Patrick Queen on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
So a great chess move for the Ravens. Lose your queen, but get your king kind of thing.
And I know he's 30, but he really didn't show that
he's 28.
He really didn't show signs of declining last year, really. I mean, like the speed was still there according to Next Gen Stats. Rushing efficiency was still there. I mean, I think he is, I don't know. I'm pretty known that if a running back gets over the age of 27, I'm no longer interested. But I think Derrick Henry is that like one of one special player where it almost just doesn't matter because he's that elite and talented and special.
If you're sitting there and you have a contender this year, and you feel like you are a Derrick Henry, a running back away, is there a trade offer that you would be looking at to go and acquire him?
Because he is, I would hope that my opponent who has Derrick Henry would also realize that he's 30 years old. I don't like acquiring running backs that are that old, but again,
you're trying to win the money, baby.
I'm trying to win. So I don't know. I'm trying to think where I would have Derrick Henry ranked. I'm trying to think like where would I...
Let me ask you this. Would you do it for the 112?
No.
you wouldn't send me the 112 for Derrick Henry to go win?
No.
Ooh, see, I think that's right about where it's at. 201, 202, somewhere in that range.
I'm more willing to do a second round pick because I still think he's probably, like, if I'm really being honest with myself, a running back three in Dynasty. That's how I'm valuing him. But he's going to have a really great year. It's just I'm worried about anything beyond after this year. I think this year will be great, and then I can't really commit to anything beyond that.
Yeah, and that's where I'm at with it. I think this year is going to be a banger of a year, and if you are that guy that, you know, you are a running back away, I think that's the guy to go get if you can get him.
Yeah.
But I also, you know, at the same time, I think the guy that's holding, you know, holding Derrick Henry right now is that guy going, oh my God, this is my opportunity. Right.
Yep. Yep.
But I think early second for Henry.
No that I'm more problem with. Yeah. If you can give me a second round pick, but a first round pick, I'm trying to hold on to it.
It's not your first round pick anyway. You're giving up. So
if it's a 112, I just won the championship, right?
That's fair. Bengals signed Zach Moss with a two year, $8 million deal. Woo-wee. Got paid for that good job he did there in Indianapolis. They also turned around and said they were releasing Mixon. Then they turned around and traded Mixon.
Yep.
The other big thing for the Bengals right now is they've got T. Higgins on the franchise tag, who is requested a trade.
Yeah.
I don't know. Again, what's the value of T. Higgins in NFL compared to what's he what can the Bengals get for him compared to what somebody wants to pay for him? Is he a one in the NFL on another team? Possibly.
Depends on the team. Like the Panthers, he would be, I would think, even with Deontay. But
even with Deontay, yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think about what the Bengals have done?
Yeah, I mean, it feels like they picked Zach Moss straight up over Joe Mixon because they saved like a little bit of money, but not that much money, really. So they could have just kept Mixon and not gone for it. To me, it feels like they're tired of the Joe Mixon off-field experience, and they are tired of his lack of pass blocking. And they can upgrade kind of both of those with Zach Moss. And at the same time, they can feel a little bit better about giving Chase Brown more run, too. I think it's all of that combined. Curious what you think.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. I think it's like a 60-40 split with Moss and Brown. I like some, you know, because we didn't see Chase Brown at the beginning of the year last year. It was like the last six games.
Yeah.
So what do we have in that? Wow. Now let me ask you this. Is Chase Brown somebody you are actively looking at possibly adding to your roster, even in a shallower league with the way running backs go down?
I am. Yeah. I mean, it depends on, obviously, it always depends on the cost. But yeah, like you said, I don't think he gets the bulk of the work, but I think he flashes when he's out there. And if anything happened to Zach Moss, then I think you get a pretty decent amount more Chase Brown in terms of volume there too. But I'm always trying to pick pretty much for my running backs, are you young? Can you be explosive rushing? And are you a good receiver? And if you're all three of those things with it's possible Chase Brown is, then I'm very interested. Yeah.
Yeah. I could see the start of the year, Chase Brown getting a little bit of work coming out of the backfield, and then Zach Moss, because we know good pass blocker, good receiver out of the backfield. We could see it basically the other way around where it's Zach Moss, that third down back to start the year. Let's see what Chase Brown is. Yeah. You know, and speaking as the Bengals here, but see what Chase Brown does offer, because we already know what Zach Moss can do as a three down back. We saw it last year. Moving over to the Browns, Jerry Jeudy gets traded to the Browns for peanuts and a empty Coke.
Yeah,
it was quite interesting. Jameis Winston is now the backup for. Or maybe the starter. I don't know. It's just Deshaun Watson, Jameis Winston. It's a weird deal together with the both of them in the same quarterback room. I don't know what the coach may not even show up in this quarterback room. They just may be able to go and coach themselves. I don't know. What do you think? What do you make of what the Browns have done? It sounds like they want to add another wide receiver.
I like the strategy for the Browns. Like, they're not spending a lot of money on wide receivers, which is a premium position. They continue to use later draft picks to go after these guys. They traded a fifth for Amari Cooper. That worked out great. They traded nothing for Elijah Moore. Not the best so far, but that's okay. And then again, they traded really late picks for another highly drafted wide receiver. I kind of like the strategy that they're going in. Some of these guys are going to hit, and it's going to be really cheap when they do. So generally, I like kind of the idea. I've never been the biggest Jerry Jeudy guy, but I don't mind spending a fifth and a sixth to find out if maybe he can turn into something.
Yeah, it seems like this is the end of the road as far as the NFL is concerned for Jerry Jeudy. If that's all the Broncos could get for him, for what was a first round pick, you know, and now you're going to the Browns where, you know, players go to in careers.
Like with Deontay, I don't know how you can acquire a player like Deontay Johnson for a really cheap draft pick. Like, I don't get these NFL wide receiver trades, really. I don't know. It feels like other positions, the value you get back for in draft picks is a lot more reasonable. But for wide receivers, it doesn't seem like it makes a lot of sense all the time.
Yeah, Jamie, a known Browns fan, doesn't want Browns offense to get on the field. He says, let's just play four quarters of defense.
And just only tie 0-0.
As long as they don't allow a point, then they are tied. you cannot lose games with 0-0 as the score. That's what the Browns are thinking right now. Big news come out like, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours before. Well, I guess it's about 12 hours before all of it started, that Russell Wilson is going to sign with the Steelers. Very interesting here. $39 million, I believe it is what is owed by the Broncos to Russell Wilson. I was reading the thing right before we got on tonight because I didn't understand everything that was included and why teams didn't have to pay it. The Broncos had to pay it, of course. But if the team would have paid anything, Russell Wilson cannot make any more money than he's already making, right? Yep. So if the team would have paid Russell Wilson $5 million, well, they would have paid Russell the league minimum at 1.2 or whatever. Yep. The rest of that $5 million, they would have been paying, sending a check over the Coors distributor over there. What do you think about this Russell Wilson signing? I like it for George Pickens.
Yes.
I like it for Najee Harris.
Jaylen Warren, too.
Jaylen Warren.
Yep.
I don't like it for Pat Freiermuth.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of that is because Russ doesn't want to throw the ball over the middle of the field. Like, he is, in terms of quarterbacks that had at least as many attempts as Russell Wilson did last year, he was at the bottom of pass attempts that went through the middle of the field. He likes to throw it outside. Great for George Pickens, not as great for Freiermuth. And it feels sort of like a weird fit, too, because Arthur Smith and his offense, he really wants you to throw the ball over the middle of the field. And so, what do we see with that? And then last season too, Russ, it felt like Sean Payton did not let him throw the ball past the line of scrimmage. Like, he pretty much only threw these like really short passes. That's great for Najee, great for Jaylen Warren. But do we see that again? Do they take kind of like, do they give him a little bit more freedom to pass the ball down a little bit farther down the field this season? And then they get rid of Deontay like right after that. I don't really get the plan. But I think it's good for Pickens, and maybe the running backs.
Yeah. The only thing I will caution you on thinking that is we all thought the same thing about Baker Mayfield last year.
Yeah.
When he went to the Bucs, we all faded Mike Evans and, you know, hyped up Chris Godwin because Chris Godwin runs between, you know, between the numbers, and it was going to be super hard for Baker Mayfield to get the ball outside.
Yep.
And he did the exact opposite. Both of them were very fantasy viable. Of course, Mike Evans just got another 1,000-yard season. You know, nothing major. It's only his 10th one in 10 years. But it's just – and Baker Mayfield, you know, parlayed that right into a nice payday for himself. But Russ is capable of doing both.
He is. And he was.
I agree with you, Arthur Smith. His offense is set to go over the middle.
Yep.
Which, cool. Pickens is a great possession receiver. I think the problem is going to be, the reason I say Freiermuth is because he's not a checkdown guy.
Yep.
Russ is not a checkdown guy.
Yeah. I think he was sort of forced into that role by Sean Payton last year. That's my guess.
Mm-hmm.
Into like checking down behind the line of scrimmage. And I think we do see a little bit, hopefully some more this season. And yeah, I'm a huge I am a huge Deontay Johnson fan in terms of a guy who can create separation. So I don't get getting rid of him right now. That didn't seem to make sense. But yeah, I think it's great for Pickens. I really like Pickens too. But kind of curious to see how that fit. And to your earlier point, on a really small sample, because they didn't really throw the ball over the middle of the field, he was really, really efficient on those throws. Much more efficient than his outside throws. So if we can let him do it, and I think that's what Arthur Smith wants him to do, we could see some success there. Like, I don't think he's completely washed.
I'm going to ride through a couple more of these. Stop me when you want me to stop, but I've got a couple of these because I want to get through it. Make sure we can get through most of these. Yeah. Without Gladys coming in and yelling, "Hey, it's my turn." The Texans, like we said, acquired Joe Mixon from the Bengals. Today Mixon got I wrote this down as a 3-year, $27 million extension that includes $13 million guaranteed.
Nice. Good for him.
Damian Pierce truthers like myself, are we just shit out of luck?
Yes.
That's what I thought. Oh, man. Afraid you were going to say.
I really liked Damian Pierce his rookie season, and then he really, really took a giant step back last season. Yeah. So I think with the name value and the contract, yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though, is Damian Pierce, the reason Damian Pierce can't get on the field is because he can't get on the field in third down because he has a trouble pass blocking.
Yeah.
Mixon's not the best pass blocker either.
He's not, but I think they try to give him the benefit of the doubt there. Yeah. We just paid him a lot of money. Let's see he can do. Yeah.
Dalton Schultz re-signed 3 years, $36 million. This man right here, I love Dalton Schultz because I can't never get the top end. Tight ends for fantasy, right. But he fits right into that, you know, right where I'm picking for a tight end. And somehow in real life, this dude just parlays, you know, the mediocre seasons, not bad, but not great. You know, just that tight end 14, tight end 15 when it comes to fantasy, those numbers parlays those into paychecks.
Yeah.
Good. Nice paychecks, $23.5 million fully guaranteed at signing.
Keeps getting passes from CJ Stroud too. I'll take that. You know,
one of your favorite players, Michael Pittman for the Colts, 3 years, $70 million, $71.5 million is max value, $41 million guaranteed, or $46 million guaranteed, and a non-exclusive franchise tag. I'm sorry, that's what he initially received was the non-exclusive franchise tag, but $70 million, $46 million guaranteed. I know you want to talk about Michael Pittman staying.
You're right. I really do like Michael Pittman. And I think it's great for Anthony Richardson's development too. Mm-hmm. Just giving him some real options to try to get better. I would say the two players I have the most in Dynasty, Drake London and Anthony Richardson. So pretty excited for next season. AR finished last year in his small sample, obviously, first in fantasy points per dropback. I really like Pittman staying, and I hope they continue to build that wide receiver room. I like Downs too.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm kind of excited to see what Richardson can do in year two.
Jaguars signed Gabe Davis. 3 years, $39 million. Gabe Davis, is he better than Zay Jones? I'm assuming you're gonna say yes. Calvin Ridley's replacement?
No. He's better than Zay Jones, but why get rid of Calvin Ridley? I mean, well, he just got paid, so I guess they didn't want to pay him that much. But no, I don't really get, I'm not a Gabe Davis guy, but I think he's probably average, maybe below average.
Hold on. Yeah. Jamie is hearing tornado sirens. Jamie, where are you? They got tornadoes in Canton. I know he's up in Cleveland area, right? It's simmer down. You're not going to die tonight. Please. No, we can't have Jamie die tonight.
Not on the Gambit's return.
No, not on the return. Kyle was saying he hopes the tornado is a conspiracy theory for the... That's the next show, Kyle. That's the next show. He loves the Pittman extension as well. You know, Lee, where he traded up for him. He's got... gave up Drake London. Okay, you have Drake London and Pittman. Who do you have ranked in your rankings? Who's higher?
London. Okay. And I love both guys. So this isn't a knock on Pittman, but I think maybe I'm just... Like I said, I have 100% Drake London exposure, so I think I am the highest on Drake London of anyone that I know. Just I have
biggest news that came out the other day, quarterback wise, Mac Jones traded.
Oh no!
Traded from the Patriots for a 6th round pick, another 1st round guy getting a back end pick to the Jaguars.
don't be the guy that says, and I know you won't be, but don't be the guy when Lawrence struggles at all and be like, bring in Mac Jones. Oh. Like, don't be the first person to
shout
it.
You got to shout that from the rooftops. Yeah. We want mac and cheese.
Don't be that person.
The Titans. Titans do the Tony Pollard, 3 years, $24 million. Question for you. Tony Pollard, Tajay Spears. Same dude.
The Spider-Man.
Spider-Man memes? I mean, what are we doing here?
I don't know. And then they pay Calvin Ridley a ton of money.
Calvin Ridley.
I don't know.
Four years, $92 million, $50 million guaranteed.
And good for him, but it feels like the only way this makes sense is if the Titans really believe that Will Levis is their guy. And nothing based off the advanced stats, I would probably argue, I'm not a film guy, but I would think most film people would also say the same thing. Nothing from what I saw last year from Will Levis would tell me I am for sure in on him as my franchise quarterback. He's pretty fun, but has a lot of turnover-worthy plays, takes a lot of sacks, especially that second one is pretty sticky year to year. I don't know. He can improve. Players can improve, and hopefully he does. But how sure are you that Will Levis is the Titans franchise quarterback?
There ain't nobody outside of the Nashville area. When I say the Nashville area, I mean that one particular building. There's nobody that is sure. I don't even think inside the building they're sure right now. But the problem for me is, listen, Calvin Ridley, go get your money.
Yeah.
Absolutely 100%. I have no problem with the deal. This is a business. Get paid. The issue I have right now with what the Titans are doing is they're not doing anything on the offensive line.
Yep.
And that's if you want this kid to be somebody that you can sit there and go, okay, we're giving our franchise over to, then that's fine. But again, this is the same franchise. And I know this has been said on other shows. I will reiterate this. This is the same franchise. They would not give a $100 million deal to a 24-year-old A.J. Brown.
Alpha J. Brown.
But we're going to do it for a 30-year-old Calvin Ridley.
Yeah. I think that's part of the reason that we're also so optimistic on Derrick Henry, too. He goes from a situation where yards before contact, which is a little bit on the running back, but I think you could argue is a lot on the run blocking on the offensive line. He goes from a situation in Tennessee where they're one of the worst teams in the league on that to a situation with the Ravens where they're pretty much always first. So if he has the same speed as he did and he gets a lot better blocking and he's in better offense, I think it's going to be pretty fun for Derrick Henry for this, at least this season.
Yeah. I want to look at this. So they are picking at, where are they picking on the draft? The Titans are going to be picking in the 15. I don't know. You know, Mike here has got a great question. Does that mean that the Titans are drafting Alt? I don't know that Alt gets to him at 15.
No way. I don't think so. I think he's a top 10 pick.
I mean, hell, you got what, the Packers, the Colts, possibly the Raiders. I mean,
I think they'd be excited if Alt's there. I think if you run up to the podium and
draft, I don't think, I don't see. Yeah, I don't think it happens. But that's Jamie. Jamie jumped over to Facebook. I guess he the tornado is not on Facebook. That's good, Jamie. Good job. That's right. Let's talk about your Eagles real quick. They upgraded a bunch on the defensive side of the thing. We talked about Saquon Barkley, 3 years, $37 million. This team is just seems to be just getting everything right. They lose a couple players on defense. They replace them with Huff. They replace it with C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Is this team set to make a Super Bowl run yet again in this NFC East?
I think so. I think with, hopefully, I'm pretty optimistic that the offensive play calling and the offensive scheme improves this season compared to last year. So that's one. I think they do need an actual third wide receiver, and Devontae Parker's not going to cut it. So I'm hoping that they draft someone at the end of the first round. I personally have an affinity for Troy Franklin. I know not everyone shares that. I like him. I like Worthy, but he's kind of similar to Devontae Smith. But regardless, I kind of hope that they get someone in the draft, hopefully a first round pick. That would be great as a wide receiver 3. And yeah, like you said, they've made some improvements. I mean, I really like Devin White. I think actually having a real linebacker will really mm-hmm. help improving that secondary. Huff has, I think, led the league two straight years in pressure rate. Pretty excited about that, adding him in free agency too. So yeah.
Yeah, I apologize, Mike. Yeah, the Titans are at 7. I don't know what the hell.
Oh, 7? Then yeah, I think
there's there is that possibility because you got the Bears, the Commanders, the Patriots, the Cardinals, Chargers, Giants are in front of them all. You know,
and there's
tight, between wide receiver or between quarterbacks and the wide receivers right there.
At
it's
7,
it's a likely possibility, I guess. Then right,
what do you think? It's probably 3 QBs and 3 wide receivers before their pick. I mean, literally, that might be it. It could be in no particular order: Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and then the 3 receivers, and then the Titans are on the clock. So that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, there's a possibility that one of the quarterbacks falls, depending on what the Chargers want to do.
It feels like May is the guy that seems like it's, which is, you know, a change from earlier, even like last month, a pretty big change. But it seems like Daniels is now the betting favorite to go to.
Well, let's analyze this right quick with Kyle's question here. If Daniels or May does fall 2-7, let's say, you know, also off the board, and that's why these guys fell. You know, so we got one of these two guys, whichever one you want it to be. Do the Titans seriously consider taking another quarterback?
I'm imperfectly fine with that. If I'm the Titans, I would take the quarterback. I don't think they do. I think they trade the pick and take a pretty good amount of value, I would imagine, if one of those guys is there at 7. That's what I think they do. But for me, you have to get that position right. And I'm not sold on Will Levis. And they didn't actually spend a first-round pick on him, right? So I think I'm okay trying to get it right. And I like Drake May. I actually don't really know why he's falling that much in the general.
Same reason CJ Stroud wasn't picked overall number one last year, because, you know, he some test crap. Which was perfectly fine for him in Houston.
Yeah, I'd like Drake May, so I'd be fine taking him if I was them, but I don't think they do.
Commanders sign Austin Eckler, 2 years, $11 million. Not bad. $3 million guaranteed signing. What does this mean for a Brian Robinson?
Can you name a slower backfield in the NFL than Eckler and Robinson? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how much juice is left for Eckler. Obviously, he was injured. And so you wonder, okay, is it really him falling off a cliff, or was it just injury? He's getting older. I'm afraid it's more of the cliff and a little bit of the injury. And I'm also not a Brian Robinson guy. So kind of out on both. Curious what you think.
That's fair. I mean, I was so in on Eckler last year. I really just thought it was going to be just Eckler year. And then of course he gets injured in week one. But then the thing was, it's like Kelly wasn't that good either. You know, it was just like the team just wasn't that good. And it wasn't just one player. It was all the players.
Yep.
So I don't know. I'm going to stay away from Eckler this year. I'm probably going to avoid, you know, most running backs. Not all of them, because, well, there's nothing coming in the draft. Not until at least the second round.
Or
second round of our rookie drafts.
So the Chargers replace him with Blake Corum.
Just checking. Early to second. I think that's
third round pick. They have that third round pick.
I think that could be in the second round.
Yeah.
I think that's Jim Harbaugh. You know what I mean? That's just Harbaugh doing Harbaugh things and getting this guy.
And I kind of like the signings that they've done so far.
If he does go get him in the second round, I mean, that almost makes Blake Corum a first round pick.
The volume's going to be there, and you can see what they're doing with their intentions. They, what tight end did they sign? That's just like basically a really good blocking tight end. Was it Will Disley?
Disley went to, was it Disley?
I know they added a tight end who's really good at blocking, and you can just tell by the transactions. They're like, okay, the guys that we're signing a tight end that can actually block, unlike the tight ends they had there, which are more just receiving tight ends. And Everett,
it was Will Disley.
Yeah. So he's a good blocker, like a good run blocker. So I think they're just signing guys like they're saying they're going to establish it. So
yeah, they also signed Hayden Hurst too.
So we're going to run the ball.
The Bears go out there and make a big splash right away within the first, I don't know, 15 minutes of the quote unquote, you know, legal tampering period. DeAndre Swift, 3 years, $24 million. Swift got a second life in Philly. Big deal here. But this says Facebook user, but I have a sneaky suspicion that this is Jamie Perogue over there on Facebook, even though he's right back here onto the YouTube side of things and saying it never fails, or don't think he's going to fail, but agree Roshan is a greater value. What does Swift being in Chicago do to the aforementioned Roshan Johnson?
It's not great, you know, whenever you add
not
more
great, Bob.
Yeah, it's not great. I mean, I think you and I are big Khalil Herbert fans, if I remember correctly.
We were.
And I still am. And I would actually kind of like to see him go somewhere else because it completes that chain. I think Ben Gretsch had a tweet on Twitter, obviously, where he had two different like five running back like threads where it's like, okay, this guy went here and then he was on this team. And now he goes to this next team. And it completes this long chain if Khalil Herbert goes somewhere. But yeah, I would like to see him actually go somewhere else and have an opportunity. And then that would make me feel better about Roshan. Because if you only have two guys in the mix, that's fine. But when you have three running backs are going to get touches, that's bad for everybody.
Yeah, it's going to be, it's again, a running back. Shelf life is not as long as normal, or as a wide receiver, especially. But I don't know what it means. Short term, it means almost everything that Roshan's not going to be involved as much. You've got these other backs, and then you've got Swift coming in there who proved himself last year. So I think this is DeAndre Swift's backfield, and I think Roshan is just the afterthought at this point.
I think the dream, if you're Jamie, is Swift is 1A, Roshan's 1B, Herbert's gone, and then, you know, if Swift happens to get hurt, then it's Roshan's backfield. It could happen.
Could happen. The one thing that didn't happen was Justin Fields getting traded. So still out there. Maybe the Bears are asking too much. Maybe it's all smoke and mirrors. Maybe they aren't going to take Caleb Williams at one. Maybe they are going to trade Fields. Maybe they are going to trade the pick. Who knows? Maybe they'll have Caleb Williams and Justin Fields on the field at the same time. They'll put Justin Fields as a wide receiver for one play. Then Caleb Williams will be a wide receiver. Who knows? But let's ask the question. Where's the best landing spot right now with what we know is the landscape with quarterbacks in the NFL? Where's the best landing spot for Justin Fields if he were to get traded?
It feels more and more likely that he is going to be a backup where he gets dealt. Mm-hmm. As time passes, it seems, and situations kind of are closing, it seems less likely he's going to land the position, be the clear starting quarterback, which is kind of crazy. Because over the last month, that's really changed from like, oh, clearly he'll be the starting quarterback wherever he goes to maybe he won't be. Maybe he'll back someone else up. I think it's pretty obvious. I don't think he's been put in the best situation to succeed with the Bears. So I kind of don't want him to go to like the Raiders and have that same exact, you know, situation again there. I think it feels more likely that he'll sit behind somebody. And I don't know. Do the Eagles make sense? Could he sit behind Hurts for a season and then we deal him? You know, I think he's still young. He's still learning. And I think it'd be nice for him to have a little bit of a break from having to do everything for the Bears. I don't know. But I don't really see a spot where he goes and he's the guy.
Oh, I agree with you 100% that it's going to be a backup position.
Yeah.
And that's why my perfect landing spot for him is a backup for the Rams. Backing up Matthew Stafford for a year, probably Stafford's last year, but he gets to learn the McVay system. McVay's pretty much a genius.
I think him developing and having a breather from having to be everything for the Bears and kind of being thrown to the fire there would probably be.
I mean, I don't know. There's this guy, Baker Mayfield, that went out there for like six games or five games or whatever it was. And like all of a sudden became a thing again.
Yep.
I don't know. Maybe that's an idea.
Maybe there's something there. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I mean, I think what you brought up also is a valid scenario. They like to run Hurts and it's hurt.
It's sort of like you could do similar things with Hurts. Obviously maybe not the tush push because Hurts can, you know, squat a billion pounds and right. no one else can. But yeah, but the, you know, it's not completely separate offenses. So if Hurts were to get hurt, you could bring Fields in and run similar things.
Speaking of running backs, another running back that got what seems to be a payday, Josh Jacobs going to the Packers, signing for 4 years, $48 million, includes $12.5 million at signing, total of $14.8 million in year one. Looking at the actual contract itself, especially for 1 year deals.
Yeah, it's four separate 1 year deals. Yep.
They also turned right around and released Aaron Jones. But guess who they are signing today? AJ Dillon.
Oh, really?
Interesting. Yes. They got AJ Dillon on like $1 million deal. It's kind of weird how they did it. But that's according to Jordan Schultz there. So what do you make of the Josh Jacobs? I know for like, I don't know, maybe it was like a 15-20 minute period there. I was like, holy cow, Josh Jacobs, Aaron Jones in the same backfield. Yeah. Jordan Love is going to have a field day.
Yeah. It feels like maybe more of a scheme fit for what they want to do. It feels like they maybe want to run more like running back power and stuff like that, whereas Aaron Jones is not like the best fit for that. Personally, I think Aaron Jones is a better running back than Josh Jacobs. Right now, I would rather have Aaron Jones. But maybe it's more of like a scheme change for them. They can here's a guy they can see giving 300 touches to where they really didn't see that with Aaron Jones. And I don't know. I would prefer Aaron Jones, but I can kind of get it.
Yeah, Kyle, I mean, I'm with you on this. I don't love the 4 year contract either. But again, like I said, it's basically like the way they broke it down is it's basically 4 1 year deals. They can get out of it, you know, after each year individually or however they want to do it. So it's Aaron Jones and Josh Jacobs feels like a downgrade. Aaron took less. You know, but that's the thing, though, is he took less last year. He didn't want to take less again this year.
Yeah,
and I think that's where the Packers were like, well, if you're not going to take less this year, then we're going to move on, which is asinine and ridiculous, but whatever. I know they got to turn around and pay Jordan Love. I believe it's next. Is it May this year? I think is when he's signing a new deal.
Yeah,
because he signed that extension and it's got to be 12 months from the date of that extension. I believe that was last May. So. But he's gonna end up getting paid anyway this coming year. But what do you think about AJ Dillon coming back? Really, they don't have any other running backs on the roster.
I think that really signals to me that Josh Jacobs is gonna get the ball a lot because I don't think AJ Dillon's very good, and so I think Josh Jacobs is gonna have all of the volume that he can possibly ask for.
Vikings sign Aaron Jones 1 year, $7 million deal, following in the footsteps of Brett Favre there going over. To the rival Vikings, but more importantly, the Vikings have them a new quarterback, Sam Darnold, 1 year, $10 million deal. does this look to you and go, okay, Vikings are definitely going to try to move up?
I think
and grab him a quarterback there.
I think they're going to get JJ McCarthy is my best guess. Like I think they're pretty sold on trying to move up and getting him.
Currently, the Vikings are sitting at 11.
So I think they would have to move up, maybe.
That's what I was going to ask you is, do you think, I mean, the Bears got two of the picks before them. We know the Commanders, the Bears are going to be going, probably the Patriots, maybe the Giants. Do maybe we think the Falcons are not going to go after?
No,
okay. Well, the Steelers don't pick till after them. So the Minnesota is getting there.
Too. I think there's competition
the
for
Jets, the Jets, maybe.
No, I think they're.
Yeah. So we're looking at like four teams.
Yeah.
So JJ McCarthy.
He's been getting a lot of steam too. Like he's been steaming up boards, you know. So I do think that is the guy that they would the most likely candidate for them to get in the draft would be McCarthy and probably their target based off where they're picking.
I like it. I like it a lot. I like it a lot. The Falcons, like we talked about, Kirk Cousins, 4 years, $180 million deal, $50 million at signing, received $100 million total in guarantees. They also got Darnell Mooney, who we talked about earlier. 3 years, $39 million deals. Plus, they got Ray McCloud. Good Lord. I mean, like I said, they ended up with a shit pile of wide receivers.
But at least these are names you've heard of before. I'm telling you. Like, if you've looked at that depth chart before, it's like, who are these guys?
Hodges. They also shipped out Desmond Ridder today.
Yep.
And brought in Rondale Moore.
Yep.
So, quite interesting. What do you make of this? I guess the Falcons team as a whole, but more importantly, the wide receiver room now that has just been, you know, flipped on its head because they have so many players now that are probably legit NFL wide receivers. Maybe not so much for fantasy, but legit NFL wide receivers.
I think it's great news for Drake London, and I'm super biased, but I don't think these guys take a ton of volume away from him. I think the guys they added are what, like, at best fourth in line for targets behind London, Pitts, and Bijan. I think they're there, and you need actual NFL receivers, which these guys are, and they didn't really have enough of them before. But I don't think they're good enough to take away volume from the big three.
Yeah, I saw this as well, Mike, that Drew Lock was convinced by the New York Giants that he was going to be in a competition between Daniel Jones and himself for the starting job there. Darnell Mooney, like I said, 3 years. I said it earlier. I think he's probably the sneaky one in this, where he could take the top off. You know, $13 million a year. That's not horrible. You know, I think that's good for. He's probably more of a wide receiver three.
Yeah.
Truly and honestly, probably going to play the wide receiver two spot here. But you could have him on the outside, put London in the slot, put Pitts on the other side. You know, and they may still go and get another wide receiver. Hell, who knows?
Yeah.
I don't think they're done trying to get all the weapons they can get. They may do a lot more in the draft with the defensive side of the ball, because they did it the opposite way last year. A lot of defense and sure. Free agency, offensive side in the draft. But I think most of the moves, if not all the moves that they have made this free agent cycle, it's been pretty damn smart. I don't like the money they're spent, but hey, whatever.
Cousins is just such a massive upgrade from what they have.
Oh, breaking news. You're going to love this. The Saints finally do something. Cedric Wilson. Can we stop? I don't know why we don't have to report everyone. Buccaneers, really not too much on the Bucs front. They didn't do a ton with players outside of the building.
Yeah.
They did go ahead and re-sign Mike Evans earlier last week, 2 years, $52 million. They go ahead and bring back Baker Mayfield, 3 years, $100 million. I like both of these moves for these guys. I think they both earned it, of course. This sets Mike Evans up as the Bucs side of things says that Mike Evans is going to retire a Buc now.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is good for him. I mean,
yeah. Oh, absolutely. I agree. But here's the thing, though. In his press conference, it's just a 2 year deal. He wants to play for five, maybe six more years. So that means there's another payday coming, more than likely, especially if he does what he has done for the first 10,
which is more 1,000-yard seasons.
Yep. So, but we just talked about Atlanta. We talked about the Bucs real briefly because the Bucs really didn't do crazy. Does this automatically, real NFL, does this automatically put the Falcons the front runner in the NFC South?
I think so. Yeah. I would say yes. I think the Falcons are the most likely team to win that. But I do think the Bucs are pretty close. You know, I don't think it's. I would give the odds to the Falcons, but I think the Bucs are almost there.
Couple of trades that went down today. We talked about the Panthers getting Deontay Johnson from the Steelers. Brought up Desmond Ridder and Rondale Moore trading places from Atlanta in Arizona. One we hadn't talked about yet, Sam Howell gets traded from Washington to the Seahawks, along with a fourth round and a sixth round pick in exchange for a third and fifth. Sam Howell to Seattle, maybe a revive of his, you know, get away from the Commander, that whole situation, bad situation that it was last year. Going out there to compete with Geno Smith, possibly.
Yeah, I mean, I still think Geno has a pretty, I would hope for Seattle, based off how Geno played, that he would have pretty clear be the guy over Sam Howell. But yeah, I don't mind getting like a guy who has a pretty good amount of NFL starts, looked okay, had some flaws, especially that pressure to sack ratio was so high. We talked about that all last season, where the guy was just taking way too many sacks, and that's sticky year to year. So that's hard to fix. I think Geno's the guy, but I don't mind trying to get a pretty decent backup QB in.
Is Geno on his last year? Not 100% on that. Let me look that up right quick. I want to say Geno Smith is on his last year of his
contract. Yeah, I'm not
of his
sure.
contract. Let me just double check right here. 3 year deal. When did he sign this? 2023. So he's got
Got 2 more years.
2 more years, maybe.
But, you know, depending on how the contract's written, it could be, mm-hmm. maybe they have an
out. Have an out. Yeah. So, you know, and like Mike says right here, he loves this for Howell's future after this year.
Yeah. I think, you know, he could develop and improve. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't hate this for Sam Howell. Were there any players that, like, going into free agency, you were just like completely out on? You were like, yeah, I don't want nothing to do with this player anyway in Dynasty. And then free agency happens, you're like, oh, well, maybe I'm a little more lukewarm to this player.
I think I've been too low on George Pickens. And especially with Deontay now gone, he is the guy. And I think he has some improved quarterback play this season. Like, I think everything really came up roses for George Pickens so far in this offseason. I think he gets a little bit improved quarterback play. Competition way, way, way down with Deontay gone. I think I've been too low on Pickens, and I think everything has really improved his stock in the offseason.
Was there who's the biggest winner of free agency? Winner, the biggest winner or winners in your mind in free agency? Who was that?
I mean, Pickens is one of them. Everybody on the Falcons, including London, I'd say especially London. I think Jonathan Taylor is like a small sneaky winner with Zach Moss gone. Not that anyone was so low on Jonathan Taylor, but they kind of were splitting some reps, and now he's gone. So that's good news for Taylor. Bryce Young getting one NFL quality receiver who can separate from defensive coverage, big winner for him. And like Zamir White so far a winner. He's like kind of survived the great running back shuffle of 2024 so far. They could draft someone, they could sign someone still. Dobbins is still out there. But so far, White has kind of like held on to his position as like a seemingly starting running back in the NFL. I think he's kind of a sneaky winner too.
Yeah, I mean, both White, Rashad and Zamir. Yep. So I think that's great. Thanks to the research department known as Kyle Sinner here. Geno signed through 2025, 2 years left. Seahawks cutting before next year and save $25 million. So there is a great possibility just for cap implications that could happen.
I think he's pretty good, though. I don't think they're going to want to get rid of him. And
well, yeah, but I mean, they just got rid of all their staff. So this could be the whole new regime coming in, you know, let Geno take this year. Boom. We move on after next year, whether that's with Sam Howell, whether that's with somebody else. Would you rather have Geno or Minshew in Dynasty?
Geno. Yeah. Ooh. But I think I'm a little lower on Minshew. For real life, as a real life NFL quarterback for my team, I'd rather have Jacoby Brissett. We didn't really talk about that much.
No, I had to get, I mean, there was a, listen, we got a 9-page show sheet. Like,
and I want three my of those 12 pages, minutes on Brissett. So
those three pages were all about Brissett. So I had to skip over those first three pages just for you.
The next three pages are about Kendrick Bourne. So yeah, we'll just skip to the next one.
Biggest loser for free agency.
I mean, Fields, just because the perception, at least in my mind, was he's going to be a starting quarterback where he gets sent. And now all of a sudden, after a few weeks, he's going to be a backup quarterback wherever he gets sent. So big change in perception for him. Mac Jones, kind of similar in the sense that like he didn't get traded for very much at all. And now he's clearly a backup, whereas he wasn't before. Any Bears running back is a loser, at least for now. And then your boy, Damian Pierce. Yeah.
Why do you get, listen, well, at least you were throwing the knives at me when I was looking at you, not just throwing them on my back this time.
Sorry, Damian Pierce.
Yeah, no doubt. No talking about Brissett with Jamie in the chat. He is not ready for it. No, that's Joe Flacco. And I don't think any of, well, at least Deshaun Watson is not ready to talk
about it. I saw some tweet where, because I know Flacco signed with the Colts, and it was like, okay, so clearly, it was some team's going to draft some quarterback because of the backup they signed. And it's like, look at the Colts. It's Anthony Richardson and Joe Flacco. Like, it couldn't be any different quarterback. So
I don't know who it was, but somebody, one of the Browns reporters, posted something about, you know, he wished Flacco would have, you know, come back, and immediately gets unfollowed or gets blocked by Deshaun Watson. It's like, okay, that's a big thing now.
Yeah. Anyway,
whatever. A couple of trades that I saw over the last few days go down in Dynasty League, multiple different Dynasty Leagues. Ramondre Stevenson and 2 25-seconds for Bryce Young, Superflex League. What are you thinking?
I want Bryce Young. I like that bet. I don't mind sending some seconds and a running back who I like. I like Ramondre, but still slightly getting up there in the age for me. Anyone over the age of 26, he's probably, what, 26? is getting up there. I like kind of that cheap bet on Bryce Young. He gets an actual NFL receiver, and the upside there, if he turns into an actual like average starting quarterback, is huge in Superflex. I kind of like the bet.
Yeah, I'm wondering if we are starting to, because of the, after the first year, you know, after his rookie year, and now he's got Deontay, they've started to do a couple things. They've lost a lot of pieces, but, you know, they didn't do anything. And that's another winner. I think you can say Chuba Hubbard was a huge winner.
Yes.
In this cycle. But they didn't do anything, you know, to hurt him. They actually added, which they did, you know, they weren't doing at the very beginning. And we were like, oh my God, I can't believe they're not going to help Bryce Young here.
Yep.
You know, they got him a head coach that is an offensive coordinator, you know, very, very, you know, good offensive coordinator.
Yep.
Are we starting to warm back to Bryce Young now?
I think so. I think one thing, the biggest thing that he was missing last year was any receiver, especially after Thielen kind of dropped off there at the end of the year, any receiver, an actual NFL receiver that can separate from defenses. And Deontay is one of the one thing he can do is separate. I think he's really mm-hmm. elite at that. I think it's a perfect fit for Bryce Young right now in his development. So kind of like that. I mean, players can improve, especially a cheap bet like that, a running back that's aging in 2 seconds, absolutely mm-hmm. willing to take the bet.
Next one I saw was Bijan Robinson, 209, 507, and a 2025 fourth for Jamar Chase and Marvin Mims, Superflex League. Now, get rid of the 25, you know, fourth, whatever, possibly even the
So it's Bijan and the second for Chase, really.
Chase, yeah.
Yeah. I think I'd rather have Chase.
Yeah, I'm with you out there as well. I think it's still Chase. Yep, for me too. The last one I got for you, and if you guys have some in the chat that you want to talk about, we can bring those up real quick. And Jamie, I saw that, and I'm probably going to decline your offer.
live decline.
Yeah, I'm going to live decline. Actually, you know what? Let me bring it up real quick. I'll tell you what it is. Jamie, is that okay if I do that? You let me know real quick in the chat if I'm allowed to say what this offer is. And I'll do this last one real quick. Devin Singletary in a 2026 first for Saquon Barkley, Superflex League.
2026 is pretty far away. I think it would depend on what stage you're in. If you're win now and you're trying to get Saquon, I can understand it. Personally, I'd rather have the first, even though it's that far out. Again, another aging running back. Not the guys that I typically try to acquire, but yeah, if you're in win now mode, like win right now, sure, go try and win.
All right. So, I mean, I'm just going to decline this trade right here. Was sent to me, Jalen Hyatt and Quentin Johnston to me.
Ooh.
For 204.
Man. I mean, so I like Jalen Hyatt, but man, he had a rough season. I do think they try to transition him more to the slot this year, which is kind of where he's suited. So I think you can make some argument that maybe he improves, but those two guys having that poor of rookie seasons, it's really unlikely that they ever hit, especially QJ. I think I'd rather have the second, to be honest. But I could make an argument for Hyatt. I can't really make an argument for QJ. Man,
right?
really rough season.
Now, you know, it may be different in, you know, 2 months if the Chargers do not go out there and add anybody.
Mike Williams wide
receiver
gone.
Wise, like, you know, even, Mike Williams gone.
He didn't produce without both Keenan Allen and Mike Williams.
That's correct. Different quarterback, or I mean different head coach, so we shall see. But
if anything, they're gonna run the ball more, lot more. That's what they're signaling, at least, which God, I hate that for Justin Herbert, but fine.
Here's one for you. Christian Kirk, Jordan Love, and the 309 for Garrett Wilson and Rashid Rice.
This is Superflex?
This is Superflex.
Yeah, I'll take Love. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I love Garrett Wilson, but yeah, if it's Superflex, I'm trying to.
Yeah.
Would like to get more Especially Love with. Exposure.
Yep. I agree. Here's one that Kyle has done in this league. Again, same league, Superflex league. The one side receives Jalen Hurts. The other side receives Brock Purdy, Ty Chandler, the 108, and the 207.
Yeah, I still want Hurts.
Hurts. Yeah. Yep, I am with you there as well. Trying to see if there's any more right off the top here. I thought Jamie had done one not recently. Okay. Oh, wait, that was one of those, was the first ones there. So that is pretty much all I have here. Let's see what is going on in the chat. Mike has one. He said, well, Kyle, first of all, says, why would they move Hyatt to the slot when Wandale is still there? Very, very true.
It's, I think, you know, if you really, because he's not suited for the outside. So I think if they really should try to move him to the slot to see if they get something out of him. That's what I think, at least. And I think he could really play in the slot. I think that's where he's better suited. They draft him that high. At least give him a shot, you know?
Drop the Mic has an inbox trade. 12-team Superflex, one each position. The rest are flex. There is some IDP. Give A-Rich, get Puka, and a 312.
I want A-Rich, but I have him everywhere. I've got 100% A-Rich exposure in my leagues. Yeah.
In a Superflex, it's so hard to go. The fall off for quarterback from 8, maybe?
Yeah.
8 to 12 is just...
Where do you take A-Rich in a startup? Because I think he's...
I mean, in a startup, he's going probably in the top, like eight? 4 or 5 picks?
Yeah, maybe
even higher. I think he's higher than that, yeah.
Yeah, maybe even... He limited sample, but he led the league in fantasy points per dropback. That's the guy you want. You know, you want him to do that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I'm very excited for A-Rich. I mean, obviously, Puka's fantastic, but I would need more to give up Richardson.
Yeah, so going back to one of the trades that I brought up, Kyle says... Brad really needed a quarterback, so I like him getting Love, but Garrett Wilson is legit.
Obviously fantastic, yeah.
100%, Kyle. Thank you, sir. Jamie traded Godwin for Kyle Pitts recently. I love this, actually. Love this. Godwin's getting up there still. The injuries
is massive.
Yeah, the injuries are catching up to Godwin as well. And Pitts is, I mean, got him a brand new quarterback. That's like, you know, that's like getting a brand new key to a car, you know, to a new car. You know what I mean? It's just
the volume could legitimately almost double.
Yeah.
It really could. Like that and the quality of that volume also goes way up too. So
yeah, Jalen Hyatt is just Zay Jones, should be slot receiver, but they are fast. So teams put them on the outside.
He's miscast as an outside receiver. I think they need to put him in the slot.
Yep. That's where I'm leaning. Yeah, Mike, I would stay with A-Rich on that particular deal. Listen, we're going to get out of here so that Gladys can get in here. Steven, tell the good people where they can find you. What are you working on?
Yeah, at Target Shares on Twitter. Haven't been writing very many articles. Been taking that break, but doing a lot of rookie research. Excited to talk about that more as we go on with the gambit, as we get out of free agency and get towards the draft. So excited for that.
Guys, make sure you're following Steven over there at Target Shares on Twitter. When he drops articles, he posts them. Goingfor2.com.
Yep.
Make sure you hit that thumbs up, hit that like, hit that subscribe, notifications, all that kind of good stuff. As soon as we get done here, refresh. I guarantee you Gladys is going to be in the seat here in about 20 minutes hanging out. They've got some kind of crazy draft that they're doing. What is it? What was it called there, Kyle? What are they doing? Tell me what they're doing again, Kyle, because it is something to do with like conspiracy theories or something or other like that. I have no idea. Going to be fun to watch. Make sure you follow me over at FantasyJ77. Follow Steven at Target Shares over there on Twitter. Until next time, y'all enjoy. The Gambit is back, baby.